I'm glad he brought you. You've been a blessing to us. You have me, I guarantee it. Amen. If you have your Bible, turn to the book of Exodus, chapter number 12. If you'd like to stand with me this morning, please. We open the pages of God's Word. Exodus chapter number 12, verse 1. In Exodus chapter number 12 and verse 1, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next into his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. Ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it." Father, bless your word now. In thy holy name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. This is the 12th month of the year 2009, called on the English calendar December. But it's an odd thing because December comes from deca or deci, which means 10. So it's a strange thing that the 12th month of the year is number 10. That's quite a remarkable thing. God told them in the book of Exodus, chapter number 12 and verse number 2, that they had a time that they would begin to count their year. Now, if you go out through the world, you'll find that all different cultures and so forth, religions, have different times that they establish as the new year. We know the 21st day of the month of December, depending on what time, what year it is, all the way from the 20th to the 23rd, somewhere in there, will fall the winter solstice. And this is the point when the Latin word solstice literally means the sun appears to be standing still for a period of time, 3 days about so. The sun appears to be at its length from the earth, standing still. This is why they call it the solstice, because in the wintertime it's the shortest day of the year in the northern hemisphere. And in the southern hemisphere, of course, it's summertime. In the northern hemisphere, it is the beginning of winter. It's quite a remarkable thing when you think that man's calendar, therefore, begins to keep time in a new year in the dead of winter. God told them in the book of Exodus, chapter number 12, that for them the beginning of months would be month March or April. It is the month Abib. That word Hebrew word Abib, literally means in the earing of the corn, or as it springs forth or buds forth, it is in the ear. So therefore, it is the time of life-giving or springing forth of life. Next month, the first month of the year, in the English calendar, they call it the month of January. The month of January is named after the Roman god Janus. Janus had two faces. Janus was the gatekeeper. He was the doorkeeper. So therefore, he was the one who opened up into a new door or a new world or a new beginning. So they named the first month of the year January. But it's quite a remarkable thing when you consider the fact that the last month on the calendar is the 10th month when you begin to count from the number decimi or December. But when you look back at the calendar that God gave them in the book of Exodus, chapter number 12, and the first month with God was the month of March. If you figure March as the first month and count from March to December, you get 10 months. Makes me wonder if somewhere in the knowledge of man lost long ago, for some reason or another, he wound up calling the last month of the year December when it was the number 10. And therefore, he had held over and retained in his knowledge the fact that as far as God's concerned, the beginning of the year is not January. God doesn't count from January. That doesn't mean a thing with the Lord. January the 1st is meaningless to the Almighty. If you look at your Bible in Exodus chapter number 12, you'll find that the first month of the year was the Passover. That is the beginning of months, and all you have to do is look at it, you'll find it was the springtime. And God said, it is here that I begin to keep my calendar. He said, it's here that you keep your calendar. So God does not base calendars on the movement of the stars, apparent movement of the sun and the moon, and what you can observe, but God starts keeping His calendar according to events, things that matter. And they're associated with the springtime. So the world will get drunk this coming Friday night and drink in, sing Auld Lang Syne out the old year, drink in the new year, and get slobbering drunk for that night and the next day, and they'll bring in their year. We'll let them bring it in. It's their year. It's their calendar. It took me a while to learn this, and a few years back I did. That's why I don't get a bit excited about January the 1st. Because that's as pagan as it can be. It's meaningless. What you ought to get excited about is around March, and that would be Easter. It would be the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It would be the beginning of months. It's when God says, I'm going to start the year here. He doesn't start the year in the dead of winter. That's where a dead man would start it. He starts the year in springtime when life is coming forth and budding. That's when God says, I'm going to keep my calendar. We're going to start it there. The truth of the matter is, there's really nothing out here on this ball that we're on floating around the sky to tell you when something starts and when it stops because we're on a circle. So God's got to tell us when it starts and when it stops. So the first month of the year is the month of Passover when He took the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. And then about 40 days later, the Lord Jesus Christ, after He was crucified on the cross and walked on this earth, during that 40-year time, 40 days, which is the number of testing, He was here for 40 days and He was here for 40 nights and He showed Himself alive to all those that believed. And then He ascended back to glory because His righteousness had been perfected. And He was the only holy, sinless man that ever walked on this accursed globe. And it could hold Him no more. It absolutely could not hold Him. And He literally arose by His righteousness and ascended to the right hand of the Father. And then 10 days later, on the 50th day of that calendar, which would be the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter number 2, the high priest in the Old Testament would carry up a bread offering, and he would take it out and he'd do this with it. He'd heave it toward the Lord, and then he'd take it and he'd wave it toward the Lord. And if I have heaved toward the Lord, and then I've waved toward the Lord, what have I made for you? I've made a cross. And he would carry two loaves. And these two loaves, he would take them and he'd heave them up before God. One loaf represents the Jewish. The other represents the Gentile. On the 50th day, according to the Word of God, the heavens opened and the Holy Ghost came down. And when He came down in Acts chapter number 2, He baptized these people in the Holy Ghost. And He baptized them into the body of Christ. And He baptized them in fire. And He baptized them in the anointing. And He baptized them in His presence. And He gave them something they didn't have before that day. The power of God came upon them 50 days after Passover. But you see, my friend, this is also called the Feast of First Fruits. It is the first fruits offered up unto the Lord. But the main harvest is yet to come. On the seventh month was the blowing of the trumpet. And it was the main harvest unto God. And it is when the main harvest is gathered together. And on that seventh month with God, the number seven is the number of completion. And in that seventh month with the Lord, the tenth day of the month, the high priest would walk into the Holy of Holies. And it would be there that He'd come with all the sins of Israel for that whole year. He'd have on His garments of glory and beauty. He would walk in before the Almighty into the Holy of Holies. And He'd offer Israel up before the Lord God on His heart and on His shoulder. And He'd offer their sins up before God to be pushed forward for another year. And that is called the Day of Atonement. And then He would turn around after He had been in the Holy of Holies. He would come back out of the Holy of Holies. And the people were standing outside with bated breath. And they were waiting for the appearance of the high priest. And when He came out of the Holy of Holies, He would lift up His hands from what He had received inside the Holy of Holies in the presence of Almighty God. And He would bless the people. And He was blessing them with what He had received in the Holy of Holies. And only those that were waiting for His appearing, only those that were looking for that high priest to come out of that Holy of Holies would be blessed on that day. That Bible says that we look for Him to appear the second time without sin unto salvation for those that look for His appearing. This is the seventh month, the tenth day of the month. And then the 14th day of the month, Israel would gather together and they would create little booths, and they put palm leaves on them, and they would go inside these booths, and they would dwell in there. They would stay in there to remind them that they had been captive in the land of Egypt, and that God had tabernacled with them and given them a place to stay. And it was called the Feast of Tabernacles. And my friend, this consummated the seventh month calendar of the year of God, but it prefigures in typology what God intends to do. For He has already died on a cross. He's already been buried and ascended to the right hand of the Father. He entered into the Holy of Holies. He sent the Holy Ghost down into this world by His power and by His glory. He's here for you if you want Him. The Holy Ghost is present if you hunger for God. He'll give you more than you ever thought you could ever have. He'll take you deeper into God than you ever knew existed. He'll lift you higher than you could ever imagine. But on the seventh month, my friend, on that tenth day of the month, when that high priest came out of the Holy of Holies, he walked out and he blessed the people. That is a direct picture of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. For He's going to come the second time, and He's going to appear, and He's going to bless those that look for His appearing. I'm looking for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And He will bless those that look for His appearing. He said, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth. I'll tell you, friend, I'll tell you something right now. Our holidays and our traditions just about suck the very lifeblood out of us every year at this time. Having gone through Christmas one more time, we come dragging into the house of God as dead as we can be. That ought to tell you how spiritual Christmas is. It's spiritual, but it ain't the Spirit of God. I'm glad, thank God. I am so glad that what I've got is far greater and far better than anything a pagan world can think of out here. They got to have something in their hands to make them happy. It's all about happiness. I'm not interested in being happy. I'm the joy of God. It's what I got deep down inside my soul that'll give me joy. I'll have it next Sunday after the drunk sleeps off his drunk, rolls in his vomit. I'll have joy unspeakable and full of glory. I'll have it in June. I'll have it till Jesus comes by the grace of God. You see, my friend, the Passover was to get them out of Egypt. Amen. He wanted them out of Egypt. And I'll tell you something. I went out of Egypt too. And I'm not going to get out of Egypt till He comes to get me. And the only way that I'll get out of Egypt is by the blood of the Lamb. You know something? I got a little old house I live in. And I'll tell you something about that little old house. It's got blood over the doorpost and over the lintels. And I got a house I'm in here right now before you preaching. And it's an earthly house of this tabernacle. And it's only so good. It'll only last so long. It's just about served its purpose. One day you'll take it out here and plant it under the ground somewhere, but you ain't going to plant me. I'm leaving this world. I'm going to be with the one who died for me. Oh yeah, we three kings of Orient are bearing gifts. We traversed so far. And I'm going to tell you something. I've had the gift of God, which is eternal life, joy to the world. The Lord hath come. Well, where's the joy today if we were rejoicing in the coming of the Lord? Don't let the world dictate to you what you have precious in your soul. Are you listening to me? This belongs to you, not them. It's of God and not them. They turn it into a materialistic orgy. It's all about the money. But the birth of Christ is a powerful thing. That the God-man came into this world is wondrous and marvelous. I tell you, by studying my calendar and studying my Bible, I've got to say, well, preacher, it's got to be the seventh month that he was born in. Well, I tell you what, I believe you're right. It's got to be the seventh month, for that's the month of perfection. And my friend, when we look at the Word of God and find that the shepherds were in the fields, we find out it wouldn't work in December or January, but it would work in September. September's the seventh month. No, you say it's the ninth month, preacher. You're counting wrong again. You start counting from March, and September's the seventh month. It wouldn't make me mad if it's the 17th of September either, amen. Some of you know what that date is. But I'll tell you right now, if he was born in September, that's the seventh month of the year. That's the consummation of the coming of the Son of Man, amen. This is the 10th month from that month. So February would make us the 12th month. And then March starts the calendar all over again. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, come. Lift up your head this morning. Your redemption draweth nigh. Just be thankful to God that in January the mailman won't drag a bunch of bills up to your house that you got to pay for now that you've had a big Christmas. Amen? If you're smart, friend, you'll find out love is the greatest thing you can give. You'll find out faith cannot be bought and sold. You'll find out salvation runs deep and long and everlasting and eternal. I never saw them one time advertise anything from Chevrolet or Ford or from Honda or from any Lexus life. I don't live a Lexus life. Do you live a Lexus? I live a Jeep life. Amen. I never saw them advertise anything on television that, my friend's, not the free gift of God. Didn't cost me a dime, not a cent out of my pocket, but it ain't cheap. It was bought and paid for by the precious blood of the Son of God. Shout, Christian, rejoice today, for your name is written in heaven. You've got an everlasting inheritance that can't be taken from you. If you belong to the Lord, you ought to say to yourself, I ain't getting drunk Friday night. No, friend, I'm not going to dance the old year out and dance the new year in. I won't be out here singing a bunch of pagan garbage. I'll be glorifying God Friday night and Saturday night and Sunday night. And it just happens to be January the 1st. Janus opens no doors for me. Janus does not control any gates that I go through. Sorry, Janus. I rebuke you in the name of the Lord. The one that opens my doors and opens my gates is the Lord Jesus Christ. For he said, I am the door. If you're going to enter in, you're going to enter in by him. You say, preacher, you're plumb off your rocker. Amen. I'm happy. I'm glad. I'm full of... Listen, let me tell you something. I've lived here long enough to have it up to here with pagan garbage. I've had a gut full of it. But I'll tell you something about Jesus. He never stops exciting my soul. This word never stops feeding me. There's power in this book. There's power in the truth. There's power in the Word of God. And so depressed, a lot of folks get depressed after Christmas. Get real depressed when the bills come in. Get real depressed when they realize that they've overcharged and that plastic got you in trouble. Get real depressed when they think to themselves, my, it's going to be a whole more year before another Christmas. Friend, I'm not a bit depressed. I'm a funny character. I'm not a bit depressed. What depresses people, it doesn't depress me. You know what would depress me? If something happened to my soul. And something happened to me deep down inside where I live. And somehow or another, I found out that Jesus wasn't coming back. I'd get real depressed. If I found out that I didn't really get saved, I'd be real depressed. If I found out that the Word of God was not true, then I'd be real depressed. I offer you a challenge this morning. I challenge every one of you listening to me. Find somewhere you can show me that book ain't true. That book right there. That book right there that got me out of Egypt. That book led me out of Egypt. That book's leading me to the promised land. My friend, that book's true. Nobody's ever found an error in that Bible. Nobody's ever found a lie in that Bible. That Bible is the Word of God from cover to cover. It's God Almighty's Word. That's the book I'm going to live by. Well, preacher, they're not singing anymore. And the lights aren't flashing. And we're going to have to take our tree down and our wreaths and all of this other stuff. Well, friend, take it down, wrap it up, put it under the porch. Good night. Don't get all upset over something and then next year drag it out and put it back up again. But the thing is, you can't take him down. You can't put him away. You can't wrap him up. Amen. 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 I'm trying to show you something. There's a difference between temporal happiness bought and paid for by your wallet and eternal joy. That's the gift of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You say, preacher, Christmas is over. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Some folks don't know how to take you. They say, well, preacher, I thought Christmas was a wonderful Christian time. You can put some Christ in it. You can put Christ in it. You got to put Him in it. You can put Christ in it. You can do some good things. We had a good little play Sunday night. Hallelujah. That was one of the best plays we've had in here. Had some good acting, good singing, good spirit. Thought that was a good play. And we used the occasion of Christmas to do it. There's nothing wrong with that. Amen. You exchange gifts among yourself and then are nice and kind-hearted to each other. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. It reminds you of the birth of Jesus Christ. That's a good thing. Although I personally don't believe He was born on December the 25th. I haven't believed that for a long time. But I mean, I really don't. I believe He's born somewhere around the 7th month. Somewhere around September, maybe October at the latest. But that's all right. That's okay. Who's going to argue over stuff like that? At least they're thinking about the birth of Christ. But in this country, it's really getting pretty bad now. The ACLU's gotten to the point to where if you put up a manger scene out here on public property, they're going to come along and sue you. And I'm telling you right now, all the networks now, it's no longer Merry Christmas. It's Happy Holidays. You know, Happy Holidays. Happy, 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 happy holidays. So I hope you have a happy holiday. Hope everybody has happy holidays. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, without Christ, ain't nothing happy. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, ain't no need to get up tomorrow morning. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't care anything about January, February, March, April, May, June. I don't care about any of it. I really don't. He's the reason that you live. Amen. Have you got out of Egypt yet? Well, maybe you got 1 foot in Egypt, 1 Babylon. You realize that Egypt and Babylon in the Bible are 2 types of everything that's going on in the world. Now, Egypt's the land of monuments. And Egypt's the land of false gods. But Babylon is the seat of idolatry. And Babylon's also the seat of the Antichrist. I've noticed how he's working hard this past year. They had a little meeting over in Copenhagen and to talk about global warming, try to build some more world support, you know. They're telling people whether you like it or not, you're going to have a world government. And Copenhagen is just one of the strategies. And it's all because of this global warming. I mean, it's really getting hotter, folks, although it snowed them out just about at Copenhagen. And I think this year they've had some of the largest snowstorms. Just had one hit the East Coast there, about 2 weeks long. And I mean, they're having cold spells all over the world like they haven't had in a long time. But I'll tell you what, Mr. Gore is still preaching global warming. But somebody said Mr. Gore's making an awful lot of money at it, too. Now, I wasn't thinking. I thought, now, surely he wouldn't be doing that. I mean, after all, he's got to be. He's a philanthropist, surely. I mean, what other reason would man have run all over the world and try to get the world alerted to global warming? Is it not for humanity? Is he not a philanthropist? Does he not care for humanity? You surely he's not being paid for all that. You know what I mean? He's making millions off of global warming. Well, my goodness, friend, what does it take for you to wake up? What does it take for you to realize this? 9 out of 10 people out there, they care about one thing. A dollar bill. And they're only your friend if they can gain from it. And it's a dog-eat-dog world when you take the thin veneer of civility away. And it's thin. And I'm going to tell you how thin it is. Get in your car and take off down the road nowadays. And you'll find out real fast how thin the civility is. For they'll cut you off, run you off, slam their brakes on in front of you. They'll do anything in the world. And that's exactly what the character of the people is like. It's horrible. Amen. Jesus is coming again. Wouldn't it be good? Wouldn't it be wonderful, brother? Wouldn't it be what a remarkable thing when everybody's standing there waiting for Santa Claus to come down the chimney? Hey, I see him. Look up there. And instead of Santa Claus, Jesus Christ shows up. That put him coming in December, of course, you know, instead of September. But wouldn't it be something if the whole world is looking for Santa Claus to come? And the Lord showed up? Wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't it be horrible if the Lord Jesus showed up next Christmas and just messed it up for everybody? It's His birthday, right? How many of you gave Him a present? Amen. Amen. Do you know how many years the Christian church went back in the 15, 16, 17, 1800s and never even acknowledged Christmas? They never acknowledged it. They never even acknowledged it. They went right through it like it didn't exist. Went right through it. So, what do you do? Well, I've preached to you and I've tried to enlighten you and I've tried my best to show you both sides and tried. I have. I could come down as adamantly opposed, doggedly opposed, and a lot of people are. And they'll give you a good argument against Christmas. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to try to show you how that your traditions can be turned into something good. And you can use it for the glory of God. Show you that. And that's what you do. But keep this in mind. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Now that I've told you that Janus is the keeper of the key, the one who opens the door, I'm not going to let Janus open any doors for me. He can open the doors for the pagans in January. No, he's not going to open my doors. My doors get opened in March. And when my doors got opened is when I got saved. And He called me out of this world. Amen. Separated me from it by the grace of God. We're going on home. You going home? Amen. It's about over. Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We've made it this far. Now bless your holy name, Holy One. Bless your name. Thank you. Thank you for what you've done for us. Thank you, Heavenly Father, you can take the wrath of man and use it to praise you. Thank you, Lord, we know. And because we know, we're equipped with knowledge. We're equipped with power now that we know. Now in Jesus' name, use it for the glory of God. In thy holy name we pray. Amen.